including aging, poor physical condition, or obesity. So, what are the steps that we can take to fix this? First is think twice, lift once. Bend at your knees, lift with your legs, keep your feet shoulder-width apart and one foot slightly behind the other. And when you go to lift, tighten your stomach and buttocks muscles, holding the object as close to your body as possible, then don't twist when lifting. These are really important steps to take. Number two is to, when necessary, employ a team. If you've got a buddy nearby, when the weight exceeds the recommended help, ask for a teammates to help. The recommended limits, ask for the teammates to help. A well-executed team lift allows you to safely move loads without increased risk of accident or injury. Number three is strengthen your back muscles. We use our backs all the time, so if they can be a little stronger, it's going to just improve your life. Start an exercise program that includes strengthening your back and abdomen muscles. Exercises that increase your balance and strength can also decrease your risk of falling and injury to your back. Finally, number four regarding back safety is pay attention to posture when standing or sitting, like a lot of us are doing right now. If you sit for a prolonged period, change up your position or periodically get up and walk around or stretch. And so that concludes tonight's safety moment. Moving back to the general manager's report, starting off with an update on our curtailment plan and operations plan updates. During 2022, with the support of the WIF Operations Committee, staff reviewed the draft curtailment plan and made progress on drafting the operations plan. Staff anticipate completing the draft operations plan in this fiscal year and starting the emergency response plan efforts. Per the WIF intergovernmental agreement, all three plans will need to be adopted by this Board of Commissioners prior to 2026. Next up is our Willamette Intake Facilities insurance renewal. Every year at this time, the 2023 renewal of the WIF property and casualty insurance has been completed, and the new policy took effect on January 1, 2023. The general manager's report that I sent out to you in the packet noted that there were no changes in coverage and the premium was within budget at $26,698. There was one minor change to the coverage. Councillor or Vice Chair Akerval actually called it to my attention, and it's on page 16 of 28 of the document that's included in your packet, and there's a note there that states, social engineering sublimit of $250,000 is new for the January 1, 2023 SDIS renewals. And so this is a new element of our insurance coverage for the Willamette intake facilities. And basically this covers social engineering type things such as phishing, but not things like ransomware. And so this is an important exclusion or constraint in insurance, and it's just part of doing business with insurance right now that insurance companies need to protect themselves or limit their liability. A couple things I'll point out for your attention on this particular matter. Regarding things like ransomware, such as clicking on bad links and things like that, that can take over your IT infrastructure, the risk on that of the Willamette intake facilities is very, very low. The Willamette intake facilities is a fairly simple structure. It's the intake screens on the Willamette River, the intake pipeline, the structure on the bank, and really no mechanical equipment aside from just the air burst equipment to clean the screens. And so there's really no IT infrastructure associated with the Willamette intake facilities. And so our risk in this particular regard is fairly low. So it's an important exclusion or limit that they put on the insurance package, but in terms of does it really materially change the insurance coverage we have on the facilities, I think it's fairly minimal, essentially. But that was one clarification I wanted to make on my general manager's report. Moving on with that is the acceptance of financial statements and report of the independent auditor. One consent item for today's meeting is to consider accepting by motion both the financial statements for the fiscal year ended June 30, 2022, and the report of the independent auditor. As the managing agency, TVWD prepared the Willamette Intake Facilities Commission's financial statements for the fiscal year ended June 30, 2022. Moss Adams LLP, the WIF Commission's independent auditor, has completed its audits of these financial statements. Moss Adams has provided an unmodified opinion on the WIF Commission's financial statements. An unmodified opinion is commonly referred to as a clean audit. Get a little feedback here. Not sure who 209-298-6539 is, but thank you. Perfect. Let's see, clean audit, acceptance of the financial statements and the report of the independent auditor by the WIF Commission Board validates the filing of the financial statements with the Oregon Secretary of State as required by Oregon law. Number four is quarterly financial reports. Task 4C of our annual work plan requires the managing agency to prepare quarterly financial reports and provide them to the WIF Commission Board as part of the packet. Attached to this general manager's report is the quarterly financial statement for the period ending December 31, 2022. And then finally, number five on my general manager's report is an update on possible move to hybrid meetings and virtual meetings protocol. So at the October 24th, 2022 WIF Commission Board meeting, staff provided an update on the possible move to hybrid meetings. TVWD is still in the process of acquiring the needed equipment to facilitate holding hybrid meetings in its boardroom. Accordingly, we will recommend that the April 2023 meeting be held virtually, like this meeting tonight. We will follow up with the WIF commissioners in September of this year on whether a hybrid October 2023 WIF Commission board meeting can be held at the TVWD boardroom. If you remember, the meeting or meeting cycle is January, April, then October. So my expectation is in the intervening time, TVWD will complete its build out and be able to host virtual meetings or hybrid meetings, I should say. And I'll reach out to you in September to find out if that's the board's preference to move to hybrid meetings or continue meeting virtually at that time. And then finally, regarding the WIF Commission board meeting protocol, we would like to propose the board adopt a standard for virtual meetings that board meetings cameras be on for the duration of the meeting, and the camera for anyone addressing the board is on for the duration of their agenda item. Microphones would continue to be off when not speaking. This proposal originated as a suggestion from Vice Chair Agarwal, and we agree that having cameras on supports our commitments to transparency and open communications with each other and with the public. At this time, we'd appreciate hearing the commissioner's considerations and comments regarding this proposal.
I'll jump in.
I think that makes really good sense to ask people to keep their cameras on for meetings like this. I think it shows you're present and accounted for. And we all know sometimes it's easy to get pulled into multitasking, and that's one way to help prevent that. I do think if someone's going through a presentation and you want to say eat or something, maybe turning your camera off during the presentation is acceptable, but that's just my two cents.
Thank you. Is there any other comments? Yes, I wanted to say Mayor Bays, but yeah.
I mean, yeah. End of the day, I'll do what I feel like at the given minute. But yes, it's good to have the camera on, but ultimately, it'll be a day-by-day thing.
Any other comments? I guess I'll just mention I had thought about this item myself, also kind of in relation to our previous discussion, and I know this was with a number of different commissioners that were within this group at that time, but when we were discussing the virtual meetings or returning to in-person meetings, and one of the comments that was made in regards to the benefit of in-person meetings is it does allow for that closer building of connection between commissioners and people that are representatives within this group. So thinking about how can we create that connection, it seemed like having that visual clues and visual communication piece might help build some of those relationships if we're not sharing the same room or the same location too. So that was one of my thoughts kind of leading up to this. Mr. Kreska, do you have further comment?
I don't. I think we heard from the balance of the board that there's general support for having cameras on during the conduct of the meeting, barring any IT issues such as Commissioner Godsey is dealing with tonight. That is, he just can't get his camera on, and those things happen. So I would accept it that this board has decided at this time that'll be the practice. We'll keep cameras on for the board members and the speakers, unless with the caveat as Councilor Thibodeau noted, that if somebody during a presentation, when somebody else has basically got the floor, and you have to, like, you know, you're in the middle of dinner or something like that, go ahead and turn your camera off for a moment, then come back into the meeting. So. We'll take that. We'll note that in the notes tonight, if that's unless there's any corrections, and move forward with that kind of as a basic an informal practice for this board. Not seeing anyone saying they disagree. I guess we can take that as direction, or not.
It's entertained that we're spending the time on it. So.
Okay. All right, so that concludes tonight's general management report, and I pass it back to you, Vice Chair Ackerball.
Okay, thank you. I think our next item is public comment. Public comment time is set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the consent agenda or matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on agenda items as they are presented. Ms. Rimes, do we have any person or people who would like to comment tonight?
No requests this evening.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And as a reminder, Ms. Rimes is monitoring the chat feature for any future requests. So this brings us to the consent agenda. And consent agenda items are considered to be routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. Any board member may request that an item be removed by motion for discussion and separate action. Any items requested to be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion will be considered immediately after the board has approved those items which do not require discussion. And on tonight's agenda, would you like me to read these items into the record?
Yes, please.
Okay. So the two items on our consent agenda are 3A, approve October 24th, 2022 meeting minutes, and 3B, accept the financial statements and report of independent auditor for the fiscal year ended on June 30th, 2022. And I see a raised hand from Commissioner Mays.
I move to approve consent.
Thank you. And is there a second?
Commissioner Godsey, moved to second.
Excellent. It's been moved and seconded. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right. Thank you. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
City of Sherwood?
Yep.
City of Wilsonville?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The motion passes. This brings us to our business agenda items. The first agenda item is the election of officers for 2023. And Mr. Krasko will present the staff report.
Thank you again, Vice Chair Ackerball, and good evening again, commissioners. So at the January meeting, or the first meeting of the calendar year, the WIF intergovernmental agreement, it says that that's the time to elect officers to the WIF board. Last year, staff proposed standardizing a planned rotation of the officer positions, and the board supported that proposal. Following that rotation, if we were to follow that rotation, Vice Chair Ackerball would be elected to the chair position, and Councillor Thibodeau would be elected to the vice chair position. And so at this time, I'll pass it back to Vice Chair Ackerball to entertain elections or a motion to proceed with the proposed rotation. I'm sorry, Vice Chair Ackerball, your microphone is muted.
Thank you. Thank you. I see Commissioner May's hand was raised initially, I believe.
I like it a lot, if everybody else does. The planned rotation.
Okay. So floor is open for the election of officers for the calendar year 2023. Is there a nomination for board chair?
This Commissioner Gadsby, I guess I would support the proposed rotation scenario that was presented, and then that requires then Wilsonville and Beaverton to act as chair and vice chair, and I move that we follow that rotation.
Okay. Thank you for the motion. Is there a second?
Mays, I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Mays. The board recorder can now conduct a voting roll call for the record.
All right. From City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
City of Sherwood?
Yep.
City of Wilsonville?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes.
Thank you. And since our motion included both the chair and the vice chair, I think that wraps everything that we need for the election of officers, which then brings us to the information officers, or information items, excuse me. And Mr. Carlton will present the staff report on the fiscal year 23-24 annual work plan and budget preparation. So please go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair Akerbal, and with commissioners. My name is Justin Carlton. I'm the Willamette Water Supply Program Finance Manager, and I appreciate the opportunity to present the 2023-24 annual work plan and budget preparation activities that are currently underway. Next slide, please. Next slide. So a brief outline of the presentation materials that we'll be reviewing this evening, just a quick schedule of where we're at in the process for the annual work plan and budget development, as well as reviewing the proposed changes from the current annual work plan that was adopted for the fiscal year 2023. Next slide. So where we're at in the current process, in December of 2023, the managing agency prepares a draft annual work plan and budget, and that is distributed to the finance and operations committees in January. They review the information and provide any feedback at that time. If necessary, we do schedule another meeting between January and March if there's additional feedback that was not received at the January meeting. In March, we'll be presenting the annual work plan and budget to the management committee for review and comment, and then taking that information to the WIF commission, delivered to the board for consideration and approval at the April 2023 meeting. Next slide, please. The WIF IGA sets the calendar for us for this process. We're to distribute the managing agency is to distribute a preliminary capital improvement project list by January 15th to the operations committee for review, as well as a preliminary budget at that time to the operations and finance committees. A draft budget is to be distributed on March 15th, and then the proposed budget will be brought forward to the board on or about March 31st. Next slide, please. So the specific dates of the process that we've adhered to this year, on January 12th, the first drafts were emailed to the operations and finance committees, and then we held a joint committee with joint operations and finance committee meeting to review those drafts on January 18th. We'll be prepared to take the final comments and incorporate those into the annual work plan and budget for the management committee's consideration on March 15th, and then to this body for consideration and adoption at the April 24th meeting. Next slide, please. A review of the current task list for the proposed 2023-2024 annual work plan include general administration, capital projects management, the preparation of the annual work plan and budget, financial administration, operations committee, management committee administration, administration of the WIF board and commissioners meetings, and then finally a new task for operations, maintenance, and repairs that it was included in the annual work plan this year. Next slide, please. This is a change from the current fiscal year annual work plan. So for the general administration category, developing an emergency response plan are the activities that will be planned for in the next coming fiscal year, as well as completing the work on the source water protection plan. As far as capital projects management, the WIF's portion of the raw water facility project is primarily complete. There is a valve that needs to be replaced in the air burst system. That work is currently scheduled to be completed in this fiscal year. However, we have been experiencing delays in ordering valves and other supplies, as people are probably aware of. And so there is a possibility that that work will need to happen in the next fiscal year. So we've therefore budgeted additional capital outlay appropriations in the next fiscal year to accommodate that if the delay does occur. Further monitoring on the water supply, Willamette intake facilities, raw water facility 1.0 project will continue to be presented to this board. However, most of the work will be focused on the Willamette Water Supply System Commission's activities and not the WIF activities. Next slide, please. The operations committee administration will be changing from 9 meetings per year to 6 meetings, and the WIF Board of Commissioner meetings will be changing to 3 meetings per year. So I believe that change actually took place in the last year, but it is reflected in the annual work plan and budget. And as I mentioned, there's a new category for operations, maintenance, and repair work. So now that the WIF assets are in service, there's costs associated with those assets, such as the utilities, various equipment maintenance costs, repairs, and contracted labor for operating those assets. And so those costs need to be reflected in the budget as well as the financial statements. And so we've accounted for those things in the next year. Next slide, please. And at that point, I'm happy to take any questions from the commission.
This is Commissioner Godsey. I just have a question about the equipment that we've installed out there. But we're not going to make that operational for, what, another 3 years. So do we do anything in the interim to test it or operate it, or we just wait until we have an open pipe to pump water into?
So the WIF assets are actually in service, which can Mr. Kraska alluded to those earlier this evening, which are the air burst system, the intake pipe, and the screens. And so those are actually operational and providing water to the existing Willamette River Water Treatment Plant. I believe the assets that you're referring to are associated with the Willamette Water Supply Commission, and those assets are actually being constructed right now and won't be in service until 2026.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for the presentation. Are there any other questions for Mr. Carlton? Okay, seeing no raised hands, we'll go ahead and move to our next item. Thank you. Ms. Walters will present a staff report on the Watershed Protection Monitoring and Outreach Plan. Please go ahead.
Good evening, commissioners. You can see me, but I do have my camera on. A lot of issues on my end, so raise hands or let me know if something's not coming through. But it's a quick update. We are well into phase two of the WIF's Watershed Protection Monitoring and Outreach Plan development. Our consultant, GeoSyntech, completed in this last quarter a tech memo that is available if anyone is interested. It is on the funding opportunities that are out there that the WIF Commission may want to, in the future, pursue in terms of implementing the plan when we get to that component in time. GeoSyntech has also drafted a tech memo which evaluates available source water quality monitoring technology and source water management cases that have been done by other municipalities and other jurisdictions. That second tech memo is currently under review right now and will be available shortly. But they've done two tech memos for us. We have completed this fall short one-on-one interviews with the commissioners and with the partner, each of the partner agencies, all about stakeholders and outreach to stakeholders and the direction we would like to take with our stakeholders that we are going to be outreaching to shortly. The focus of the interviews was to assess priorities and to prioritize who those stakeholders would be that we would like to outreach to and who we might already have existing relationships with out in the community. Also, we were attempting to also find out if there was any concerns from the commissioners and the partner agencies about as we reach out to these stakeholders, if there's not messaging that we wouldn't want to or how we want to approach them. We use the one-on-one interviews and the group team meetings to basically bring those to light and talk about them so that as we move forward, getting closer to actually connecting with outside agencies, that we are very cognizant of those concerns and in the messaging that we want to be giving out. So with all the information that we've gathered, we are now planning a workshop at the end of this month on January 31st with our WIF Operations Committee. And that will be to talk about what is our strategy and key messaging we want to give out to the community. And then again, talking about branding, but in the focus of how we want to actually present ourselves as the WIF Commission out there and find areas with these key stakeholders. And by key stakeholders, it's the stakeholders that we identified as needing to, through our process that we've identified as wanting to and needing close engagement with. So again, we'll have this workshop at the end of the month with our WIF Operations Committee. From the feedback and the fine-tuning that we get through that process, we're going to then set up five small workshops with key stakeholder groups that will be happening late in February. And the focus of those workshops with the outside agencies will be to educate and engage the highest priority external stakeholders with the goal of identifying opportunities for cooperation in achieving shared goals that the WIF Commission has. And then from there, we will have our recommendations that go and get rolled up into our watershed protection and monitoring plan. Any questions that I could answer at this point? Okay, that's what I had.
Okay, thank you for your presentation. And seeing no raised hands, I think we'll go ahead and move on. Thank you. Our next item, let's see, Mr. Carey will present the staff report on the legislative update. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners. This will be relatively brief, too, for tonight. That might not be the case next time as we actually get into the session further, but we'll at least get out of here rather quickly at this point. So just a quick recap, the 2023 legislative session began January 17th. As a reminder, this is the long session year, which means the session will last for approximately 6 months. Engagement is currently underway, including the tracking of draft legislative concepts and bills and the key committees associated with water and municipal utility operations. So far, there's a little over 1,800 bills that were introduced during this session. So this is where a lot of the tracking and sort of prioritizing those, understanding which bills of those particular relate to the water and municipal water side of things. So similar to past years, a special focus will be on the Agricultural Land Use, Natural Resources, and the Water Committee. This committee focuses on issues associated with all forms of water usage and statewide water strategy and continues to be chaired by Representative Kinhelm with Vice Chairs Mark Owens and Anessa Hartman. So just a couple concepts for tonight, just to briefly touch base on. One of those is what's referred to as in-conduit hydroelectric power generation, or legislative concept 1056. So currently, Oregon revised statute requires water right holders to apply to the Oregon Water Resources Department for a certificate to use water for hydroelectric purposes within a water system under an applicant's existing water right. However, some municipalities don't own their own water right. That could be a wholesaler, that could be an entity that is doesn't have a certificated water right effectively. So if one of those systems wants to construct an in-pipe hydroelectric project, it must rely on the water right holder to apply directly to OWRD, the Water Resource Department, for approval of hydroelectric purposes, meaning that entity would have to rely on the holder of it to do all the legwork, all the documentation, all the submissions. So that takes time. That process takes time and resources from the entity holding the water right, which makes it challenging for a system that doesn't own their own water right to do that project. So a legislative concept was introduced this session by a WIF commission member, the city of Hillsborough, in fact, that would allow a utility with written permission from the water right holder to apply to OWRD for in-conduit hydroelectric approval, effectively streamline the process for a technology that benefits multiple uses. And in fact, I know several agencies from the WIF commission are pursuing this technology in various applications. So this legislative concept is currently working its way through the legislature with support of multiple water coalitions and several WIF commission members. So again, legislative concept 1056, that's one of the items that we're closely supporting as it moves through the legislature. So next item for update, an ongoing item, the Willamette Basin reallocation. So the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers released their draft environmental impact statement. We refer to that as the EIS for the Willamette Valley system this November. So taking just a pause and a step back for 1 second, as a reminder, we've talked about it a few times here, the reallocation, that's a subcomponent of the larger Willamette Valley system operations under the Corps. So there's the high-level operations that overarches everything, and there's our specific subcomponent about the reallocation. So as a reminder, the reallocation was passed in 2020 by Congress, which provides the ability to convert stored water behind the dams in the Willamette Basin to multiple uses, including for the purpose of municipal supply. So the current draft environmental impact statement is the, again, system-wide assessment, which has the potential to alter elements of the reallocation. So the reallocation project team, which includes TBWD and the City of Hillsborough staff, along with several other water supply agencies in the Willamette Basin and our subject matter expert consulting team, have been reviewing the draft EIS and to date have not identified anything significant that conflicts with elements of the underlying reallocation. So just as a reminder, use my hands again, we've got the EIS that oversees all that, and then we've got our reallocation kind of below that, which has its own biological opinion components, things that must be met before we can have access to all that water. So some important things just to remember about this process right now and the environmental impact statement. The Corps has acknowledged that the existing stored water volumes, what was effectively reallocated from municipal use, about 160,000 acre feet, and it's, which again, just noting that in this EIS is a positive advancement, acknowledging the efforts of the reallocation. And has noted that there are some initial caps, such as 11,000 acre feet of water for the first pass at getting access to stored water, would be lifted once in-stream water rights and flows are met. So again, just a positive advancement. While the project team is still reviewing this, members have been attending some of the public hearings that occurred in the last couple of weeks to learn more and just to hear from the Corps and voice some of these thoughts and opinions about this, about the EIS. So the deadline for submitting public comment is February 23rd. Staff are working through our various coalitions, such as the Oregon Water Utility Council, and we'll be formalizing a joint public comment document to meet the above deadline. So I know that's a lot to unpack in that one. If there's any questions about that, I'm happy to answer any questions about that topic or the legislative concept about in-conduit hydro. Just as a reminder, during the April meeting, we'll be coming back with more information. Bills are just now being reviewed, so there's quite a bit more content to sort of parse through. And I know a lot of agencies have your own staff they get involved too. We try and make sure this one's generally focused on some of the water supply planning, water rights elements of the legislative session. So, and water is a major focus this year. So, again, happy to answer any questions about those particular topics.
Thank you for the presentation. Do we have any questions for Mr. Carey? Please raise your hand or speak up. Okay, I'm not seeing any hands raised, but I appreciate your report. We'll see you again next time.
Thank you.
So this brings us to, let's see, I guess our last item under information is notice for our next meeting. The next board meeting will be scheduled for April 24th, 2023 via Microsoft Teams. So we will be online and virtual again at that point. And we have no communication or non-agenda items scheduled for today's meeting. So I believe this takes us to our end. Without any further business before the Board of Commissions, this meeting can now be adjourned at 6:39 p.m. Thank you all for joining us this evening.
Good to see you from across the verse, Jim.
Yeah, have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night,
you.
All.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.